Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hagman and Hagman, our very special guest, Mr. Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. There, grab a copy of his book, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, or if you prefer, 2016-2017. But this book, it's a joy to read. It's an intellectual Bible of intellectual information, and it's just fantastic. And I especially like the chapter on social justice myself. Okay, this is Paul McGuire at his finest in terms of chapters and writings and such. And it's an all-encompassing book. It's a fantastic book. PaulMcGuire.us, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. And I want to thank everyone for joining us today. I want to thank the person who sent that newspaper from the UK opening mail today. Got the newspaper from the UK. Thank you so much for sending that. Very interesting. The Daily Worker. UK edition. Pretty interesting stuff in there. That's right. You heard me. Want to mention, folks, I'm excited. If you are a small business owner, or if you own a medium-sized business or a large business, if you're looking for one person or 10 people, if you're looking for whoever you're looking for, if you are in need of someone to do something for your business, if you're looking to hire, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, folks, you need to post your job on all top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, just with one single click. I love the ease of this. You can find candidates in any city, in any industry, nationwide. Just post one time, just once, and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Oh, it is. So, folks, if I can use it, you can use it. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person right there, fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over, get this, 1 million businesses. And right now, my listeners, our listeners to this program, can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free just by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Folks, listen to me now. Listen carefully. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial one more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial.
We're talking with Paul McGuire tonight. His website is PaulMcGuire.us. His radio show, The Paul McGuire Report, you can find on Blog Talk Radio, and you can download the podcast to through iTunes or any podcast outlet. And just before the break, we were talking about the Phoenicians and the Canaanites and the ancient false little g gods that they worship.
Yeah, so I'm going to do this as quickly as I can, but I'm going to move, I hate to say it, on several dimensions at once, because it sounds pretentious and nobody will know what I'm talking about. But let's put it this way. There's going to be several layers of what I'm going to talk about will have several layers or tiers of information. Now, I need to quickly go back, because this, I'm going somewhere. This is very, very important, because ultimately where I'm going to go with this is talking about the existence of a power grid in our nation and in our world, that it's a power grid that creates reality. It's a holographic power grid that creates reality. And those aren't New Age expressions, as you'll see in a moment. Now, quickly going back to the fallen angels mating with the human women at Mount Hermon, in addition to science and technology, they taught human women well, they lusted after human women, and they mated with them. But they also taught human women a number of things to enhance their sexuality. They literally taught them how to put on makeup, and I'm not knocking makeup, and I don't think the Bible knocks women wearing makeup. But the fallen angels taught women a special way of putting on makeup that would heighten their sexual seductiveness and attraction. All right, that says that in the Book of Enoch, which is legitimate for us to read because it's referenced in the Book of Jude. Now, another thing is, besides the science and technology, they gave herbs to mankind. Now, I believe when the extra book of the Bible, the Book of Enoch, talks about herbs, I believe that included medicinal herbs, herbs for all kinds of purposes, but also herbs which contained plant-based psychedelic and drugs, mind-altering drugs. Now, let's go back into Canaan, because the Canaanites are genetically descended from what happened on Mount Hermon. The Phoenicians are genetically descended from what happened on Mount Hermon. And the Sidonians are genetically descended. In other words, they're all Nephilim. So they're worshiping the goddess Asherah. It's a sexual worship, because the belief system is that if you engage in these sexual activities and these sexual perversions, you are then going to please the goddess Asherah, and she's going to reward you financially with prosperity and your crops and health. And I want your listeners to just really grab hold with a vengeance of a very, very important truth that will revolutionize their lives if they grab hold of the truth and make it their business to understand it. So the pagan people, the Canaanites, in their worship, which was sexually perverse, that was designed to please the goddess Asherah so she would reward them economically. Okay? Now, the other thing is, when you look back in archaeology, you see that statues or small statues of the goddess Asherah feature very, very large female breasts. And I'm not trying to be crude, I'll be as delicate as I possibly can, but I got to talk about reality. And a very, very enlarged posterior. Okay? Now, I'm going somewhere with this besides being, you know, I'm not trying to be obscene here. I'm trying to be delicate. But there's a truth here, because perverse sexuality is a form of satanic worship. And the ancient Canaanites and the other cultures that were Nephilim knew that they would release supernatural power, and that they would release the supernatural power to provide, to get provisions economically with their crops, et cetera, if they performed these worship activities. They also, with the worship of Asherah, women would dance seductively naked around a pole. Now, notice the similarity with ancient Asherah worship, because that's where the stripper's pole came from, the worship of ancient Asherah. And we have that in our society today. And if you'll notice in our society today, in the last couple of decades, I'm not criticizing or making fun of somebody who has had augmentation in certain areas. That's not my point. But when strippers began to have unusually large breasts because of implants, etc., and then just in the last 2 or 3 years, the emphasis is to enhance and augment the female posterior, okay? And that's being done by Beyonce and a whole bunch of music stars and other people. But you see, it's really reminiscent of Asherah worship. the exaggerated female body parts, the pole, and the perverse sexuality. Now, so I want people to think about that for a moment. And then let's go back to the worship of Baal, which was sacrificing your children alive, drug taking, and they got the drugs, I believe, from the fallen angels, and you know, playing music that puts you into like a trance, taking psychedelic drugs, burning your children alive, and other horrible things. And the reason the Canaanites did that in the worship of Baal, who represents Satan, is because they believed that by doing that, it would supernaturally release economic favor, crop favor, wealth, and all kinds of things. So, here we have these ancient civilizations, and I want your listeners to lock in on this truth with all its worth. Because if you're going to be like the Bozo the Clown school of theology, where you just skim the Bible and come up with some superficials, that is a total violation of what it says in Proverbs, that you are to seek for knowledge and you're to seek for wisdom with a passion like you would seek for silver or gold. Because the most important thing, it says in Proverbs, is to get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get wisdom and get understanding. That implies that we are to be aggressive in our search for the truth. We're to master the search for truth. We're not to just have skimmed the Bible like morons. We're supposed to dig into the depths of the scripture. We're supposed to mine it for the gold and the treasures of truth that God has embedded in the scripture. So that's why we have to know who the Canaanites were and exactly what they were doing. So we see this fundamental principle that begins in ancient pre-flood civilizations. And the principle is this. The fallen angels produced the Nephilim, and we now flash back to Lucifer, the highest fallen angel. But what is the primary characteristic of Lucifer? He's evil. He's beautiful. He was a worship leader. He's highly creative. But we see an exhaustive documentation and description of Lucifer's attributes, for example, in Ezekiel 28, where it goes into incredible detail about how he's a merchant, a trader, T-R-A-D-E-R. He's a master of commerce. He's a master of marketing and business. And it talks about the jewels and the wealth that he knows how to multiply. So we learn that Lucifer, to put it in simplistic terms, is a brilliant supernatural businessman. And he develops the debt, he develops the monetary system, which is a debt slavery system. So Lucifer is like the father of commerce and money. God isn't, because money is not a kingdom of God concept. It's a Luciferian concept. Now, we have to understand that. So who were the Phoenicians? They were traders. They were masters of commerce. They were importers and exporters of precious metals and jewels, and they had advanced knowledge. They were like their master, Lucifer, in many ways. Now, we go back to the Canaanites. We look at the ancient Phoenicians. We look at the ancient Sidonians, and we see a commonality here. They all know how to worship Satan, and there's a reason for their worshiping Satan. They learn that there is a direct relationship, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would literally explode this truth in the minds and the hearts of people listening, that the shockwave of truth would just shatter the dullness that's been programmed into them by a culture that wants to keep you a slave and in captivity through depriving you of knowledge and truth. So the commonality is this: they worship Satan, and their purpose in worshiping Satan and doing these rituals is they understand that economics, money, commerce, wealth, agricultural productivity. All of this is essentially based on the supernatural and not the natural. It's not that that the natural isn't taken care of. You've got to work the fields. You've got to plant the harvest. You've got to balance the books. You've got to build the buildings. But that's only one half of the game. The Canaanites and the Phoenicians and the Sidonians, the greatest traders and commerce people in mankind's history, understood the supernatural element of releasing economic prosperity and wealth and power and favor comes about from their worshiping Lucifer, and he releases it for them supernaturally. Now, we play out the story of the Phoenicians. They settled all around the world, especially in England. And what is England today? It's two things. Great Britain today is the world headquarters of Satanism, Luciferian worship. It's the headquarters of the Illuminati, and it's an occult power center. That's one main attribute of Great Britain. The second main attribute of Great Britain is that it is the center of global wealth. The city of London, not to be confused with London, the city of London is a separate city inside the city of London where all the international bankers have their palatial offices, and the global economic system is run from Great Britain. So notice again the relationship between the supernatural, the Illuminati, Satanism, wealth, and economics. They're hand in hand. That's, again, why the dollar bill has the Illuminati symbol, and so on and so forth. Who settled Great Britain? It was the ancient Phoenicians sailing into Great Britain to trade precious metals, etc., and they expanded their trading and importing empire from there. Now, that's important to grasp for many, many reasons. But the other side of the coin that is important to grasp is when we read the return of Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18, we once again read this most detailed description. It is a very lengthy, detailed description of products, goods, services, economics, commerce, trading, the music industry, precious jewels, gold, business, the kings of the earth. We reread a very detailed description that is basically economics. And it's very, very similar to Ezekiel 28, which describes the biography of Satan and his power over the world economic system. So when Mystery Babylon reemerges, we see this lengthy description again of the Luciferian economic system, which is about to be judged by God at his second coming. Now, why is this important? It's important because the average Christian will remain in captivity, will remain a slave, will remain ineffective, will be powerless as long as the average Christian insists upon depriving themselves of the truth in God's word. Because Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So the more truth you know, the more you are free. The children of Israel were slaves economically and physically under the Pharaoh God King system in Egypt, which was a spinoff of Babylon. Babylon, by the way, was the first place where they started printing money from nothing. And the children of Israel were slaves under Pharaoh, and they had to toil and sweat and were beaten to basically try to make a living. Now, God in the Old Testament and God in the New Testament it is not his will that his people be the slaves. It's not his will that his people suffer and be the tail and not the head, which they are in America. God's people are being trampled upon. The things of God are being trampled upon because, to a disturbingly large degree, God's people are relatively powerless, at least in comparison with the occult secret societies and the Illuminati, so on and so forth. But one other thing regarding the multiple personalities and satanic ritual programming that the police deny, well, they need to do some homework regarding history. The programming of individuals, to have multiple personalities and to become slaves and Manchurian candidates through occultic mind control, through drugs, through sensory deprivation, through pain, drugs, and hypnosis, that ability to program people, which is now called monarch programming, where you split their multiple personalities into altars, deliberately you use the word altar as a place of worship, is a satanic satanic principle that goes back to pre-flood civilizations, and it goes back to ancient civilizations. So when the modern MK Ultra and people today in militaries around the world utilize monarch programming and multiple personalities and MK Ultra, all those are extensions of centuries worth of this kind of programming that's been going on for thousands of years. If the police would bother to look at a history book, hashish was named hashish, and of course hashish is a derivative of the marijuana compound in a more concentrated sense. But the assassins of old would take large doses of the psychedelic hashish when they would be like super soldiers and kill people. It gave them an elevated consciousness. It put their consciousness above fear. They tapped into supernatural powers, and they were super soldiers and super killers and assassins. But the word hashish is tied into the word assassin. So this is something that's been going on a long time in history. Now, we understand that Lucifer is head of this very sophisticated economic system, and he understands programming and drugs and persuasion and mind control and monetary system and the economic system. It's not an accident that the Phoenician traders go to Great Britain. That's the world economic headquarters, and the very top people in the city of London, the people who run the world's wealth, are part of the Illuminati, and many of them are involved in Satan worship. That's not an accident. Between Satanism, the supernatural, and the release of enormous prosperity. So again, your listeners need to really, really grab hold of this with a vengeance. We look at the wealthiest families in the world, like the Rothschilds. I'm not saying all the Rothschilds are Luciferians, but some of them are. And in the beginning of the family, when they established the Illuminati, because their former name was Bauer, their symbol is the red shield, the Rothschild family is deeply involved in the Illuminati, and they're probably the most powerful economic family on planet Earth. But the reason that they were able to access trillions of dollars of wealth was not just because they were great accountants and bookkeepers. They were, but that wasn't the sole reason. They understood that we do not live in a basically materialistic universe. In other words, the universe of the reality that we live in is far more than the physical dimensions. The Illuminati, they understand this. And therefore, if they want great wealth, they just don't produce that wealth in the physical three dimensions. They go into the invisible world or the spiritual world, a fourth dimension, and they pull wealth and plunder and power and economics out of another dimension. That's what's meant by alchemical magic, the philosopher's stone, where you take nothing and you produce gold. This is the great secrets of Freemasonry and the occult and the Illuminati and Satanism. There is a direct relationship between economic provision, prosperity, military victory, and supernatural power. Now, if modern contemporary evangelical Christians in America insist on misperceiving reality as simply the physical dimensions that we can touch, taste, see, and hear, they're always going to be on the losing end of the spiritual battle. Because God gets right in the face of his people, way back in the Old Testament when they were dealing with the Nephilim in ancient Canaan.
Paul, hang on to that thought. I mean, this, to me, folks, if you're not engaged in what Paul is saying, you need to go back and listen to this. This is perhaps one of the most insightful, Joe, I'm just blown away. I mean, listen to what Paul's saying.
And very historically accurate, especially about the Phoenicians and from what I've studied. And we're talking about the spiritual dimensions and what can be gained from them by the world elite when we come back with Paul McGuire right after this.
Tech on the piano and guitar. That's right. And drums and bass and violin and trumpet and whatever. You like that? Oh, yeah, baby. he classed it up. I mean, this is really good. You know, our very special guest right now is Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. And a tip, Paul, for you from our listeners. I got about 6 emails on this. If you go to File, Open Recent, I don't know, no matter what platform you're using, you can fire off that article to us and we'll post it. But File, Open Recent. But our guest is Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. To me, this book is, I mean, so right on target. Folks, it is just an insightful read. And one that I think this book, I'm proud to have this on my bookshelf, and I'm proud to be an owner of this book. And that's not false flattery or praise without understanding and reading what's in here. This book has got a lot of great information, and it's topical and timely. And it is. We started off by talking about Hillary, the ear pearl, shall we say. Moving through the history, the important history, because past is prologue, isn't it, folks? In the whole schematic, I suppose, the schematics of where we are today being laid out by Mr. Paul McGuire. Folks, one more thing. I just want to mention that, you know, time is short. Time is indeed short. And if you haven't prepared for any eventuality, I would urge you to do so. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Folks, there at Minuteman Stove, they've got the best standalone stove on the market for survival, for preppers, okay? It is the absolute best stove you can buy for preppers. It's the perfect survival cooking stove for you and your family. The Minuteman Stove It just takes twigs and sticks. So even if you're living in an apartment in downtown Brooklyn, or in Brooklyn, we'll say, it just requires a small amount of sticks and twigs for your fuel. You can find that scurrying the streets. Believe me, we've been in downtown Brooklyn, in the streets of Brooklyn. You'll find the necessary fuel for the Minuteman, regardless of where you live. It takes 1/10 of the fuel required in an open fire, and It heats up. I mean, it's an amazing device. It's a rocket stove that heats right up, and the outside temperature only gets to 200 degrees roughly because of its insulation, the way it's made. The heat is focused. The cooking power is comparable to a kitchen stove. Folks, visit MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Don't delay because, you know, time is running short. Now, back to our guest, Mr. Paul McGuire. Paul, wow. Go ahead, brother, and continue. You've really, I don't know. I mean, the history that you're providing, some people might know it, but others, well, I mean, you're refining the information greatly. So continue, sir.
Well, I appreciate it. And it's going to get faster, more intense as we go on. But the end game here is to give your listeners truth that will revolutionize their lives. I mean, and it really will revolutionize their lives. Because as a minister of a local church, Paradise Mountain Church, I get emails from people. People want prayer all the time. And they're struggling with stuff. And if they understood this stuff, I think they would experience the breakthrough that they need. And the help they need, because the help they need is supernatural and it's from God. The key is how do you access that? Because a lot of people say constantly, and I understand this, you know, I pray, but nothing seems to happen. But there's a reason for that. And in the book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, with the 4 DVD set, the Lord directed me to break open the economic system. And the occult supernatural nature of it, but then devote at least a third of the book to teaching people how to use God's supernatural power to open up God's supernatural system of provision and economics and money, which is people have got to understand this. It's supernaturally based. It doesn't mean you don't work hard. You do. You work harder than people who don't know God. But unless there's a release supernaturally from the Lord, your labor is somewhat in vain. That's why the scripture says, you know, it's vain for a man to wake up early and go to bed late, slaving to make a living, because it's the Lord who provides. Now, that's not saying you're not supposed to work. Okay, so anyway, that's helpful. And I'm going to go through some stuff, and I want to encourage people to master the topic and master the truths. You know, what has helped me greatly in understanding all this stuff is the fact that I've written books, and in the writing of books, you research. So my exposure to material is repetitive, 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 which is a powerful. And every time I repeat reading something, more and more opens up. And then I read different sources that reinforce and more opens up. So in A Prophecy of the Future of America, the first book, there's a lot of important truths regarding what we're talking about in that. Imperative ones for just one quick one. Adolf Hitler and the Nazis understood this when they established the Third Reich in Nazi Germany. That was an occult dictatorship. It was a DNA and occult dictatorship. The Third Reich was an occult party first and a political party second. And the super advanced technology that they got. They had great engineers and technology people and scientists and physicists, but what really gave them the advanced engineering diagrams for rockets that were 50 to 60 years ahead of America, and the early UFO type flying machines and the proposed anti-gravity machines, and their high technology and their ability to implement scientific mind control and their ability to use genetics at a very high level. They had high-level genetic scientists was because they pulled it out, again, they pulled it out of a supernatural dimension. And not only did Nazi Germany do that, but the big secret is that Great Britain was doing it also, because Churchill was a Druid priest. And this is a slight digression, but the Phoenicians, whose main city was Phoenix, and they were genetically Nephilim from the interspecies breeding of fallen angels with human women on Mount Hermon, where they were given technology and science and advanced mathematics that was also given to the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians and the Sidonians, which were very similar peoples, they sailed their importing, exporting vessels all around the world, and they went up through Europe, but they centered in on Great Britain and Ireland and those islands. Great Britain, the word derivative of Great Britain originally goes back to the word tin, because that was one of the metals that were being imported and exported by the Phoenicians. And Great Britain, as we said, is there's a reason why it is the global economic power center of the world, and it is also the global center of the Illuminati and the occult and Satanism. And it's not an accident that the Fabian socialists and all the planners for the New World Order and the scientific elite and the scientific dictatorship and Aldous Huxley and H.G. Wells and all these people, it's not an accident that they come out of this satanic energy flow and this economic energy flow of Great Britain. That's not an accident. Now, because Huxley was, he wrote Brave New World, a genetic totalitarian dictatorship. But Huxley was also a member of the cult of Dionysus and a worshiper of the sun god. Winston Churchill, was a Druid priest. And Aleister Crowley, the great Satanist, came out of Britain. And so there's a nexus there of spiritual power and economic power, but spiritual power and economic power that is at a multidimensional level. Because you see, the people at the highest levels of the Illuminati and satanic societies and other secret societies, the people at the very highest levels of these societies, they are in communication with Lucifer, and they are given knowledge on how to multiply wealth and economics and mind control and all kinds of things. But it's supernaturally imparted to them. Now, a lot of people, you know, this bothers them when I say that, because they don't understand the second principle. And the second principle is that the people that are running the world now and running the United States now are a largely invisible globalist elite, which is a cult-based. But their organizational structure is built on a hierarchy and a need-to-know basis. So knowledge, in order for them to preserve their power, knowledge is given out always on a compartmentalized basis. So the highest level Satanists and members of the Illuminati, they teach... Let's say leaders on the presidential level, the prime minister level, the heads of multinational corporation level, they teach all these people, these governing authorities in politics and commerce, they teach them through higher level education that they control, they indoctrinate them into the belief that there's only the physical universe of the physical senses, which is called scientific materialism. And they teach them that, you know, the supernatural is nonsense. But they do that so that the high-level managerial class of presidents and prime ministers, etc., will not get access to the power that they have, because they know for sure that the supernatural exists, that Lucifer exists. But to keep their power, they convince the lower level people that we live strictly in a physical materialistic universe. It's a very clever ruse, and it works. Now, going back to there was a critical point that I was trying to make before the break. Do you happen to remember what it was? All right.
Well, I mean, you were definitely talking about the...
Before the break, you were talking about how the Rothschilds and the families of trillionaires pull the resources out of a fourth dimensional realm.
Yeah.
Great. Yes. Okay. So this is absolutely essential. So we go back again, really quickly. We go back to ancient Canaan. We go back to the ancient Phoenicia. We go back to ancient Sidonia. We go back to Mount Hermon. And the reason that these people were involved in satanic worship, and they were given fallen angel technology and science and economic principles and mind control principles and the use of psychedelic drugs and sexuality and stuff. They were predisposed to worship Lucifer because they had fallen angel DNA. And these are the people, by the way, that built the ancient super civilizations that most people think are legendary, like Atlantis. And Atlantis was, I believe, was real. And more importantly, some of the smartest people in the history of the human race believed Atlantis was real, like the Greek philosopher Plato, who wrote Plato's Republic. The Greeks, by the way, were the genetic descendants of the Phoenicians and the Canaanites and the Sidonians. And the Greek philosopher Plato wrote in Plato's Republic, he had information about Atlantis, and he said it was ruled by, that it was a super civilization. It had advanced technology and science and mathematics, but it was ruled by 10 god kings or 10 philosopher kings. Now, who were the 10 philosopher kings of Atlantis, or the 10 god kings? This, by the way, was an organizational structure of the scientific elite ruling the masses. I believe the god kings were the Nephilim, the Illuminati bloodline, if you will. That's why they had supernatural science and technology to build Atlantis and other super civilizations, until it was destroyed by the flood of Noah. Okay, so the elite, by the way, today, the very highest level members of the elite are regular readers of Plato and Plato's Republic. They're obsessed with Plato's Republic. So all these ancient civilizations up until now, but going back in time, the Rosicrucians, the people that ran the British Empire at the top, the people that founded America at the top. You go to Washington, D.C., you see occult symbols and free masonry symbols everywhere. They were all into understanding supernatural power, advanced supernatural mathematics, and all kinds of things. Our entire founding of Washington, D.C. is literally a monument to Babylon and these ancient occult practices. So these people all understood that working hard and natural physical three-dimensional stuff was very, very important. But they understood that the way you really access wealth and power is that you first have to acknowledge the reality of a multidimensional reality, and that there is unlimited power and information and energy and economic wealth, et cetera, that can be released supernaturally from another dimension if you will worship the gatekeeper of that dimension, who is Lucifer, because he is this master trader. He is the god of this world. He runs the global monetary system. So the most people think, well, you know, pagan worship is just a bunch of ignorant people running around, you know, having sex and then playing music and taking drugs and sacrificing people. If you even go to the Incan ruins and the Mayan ruins, and many of you have seen that movie with Mel Gibson, what is it, Apocalypto or something?
Yep, and, Apocalypto. And,
yeah, so what is it, Mayan or Incan temple? Incan temple, and you know they're chopping heads off like crazy. Well, it's not because they were just a bunch of nutty primitives that were stupid and superstitious. They did that because the Mayan and Incan cultures, that satanic religion that they were involved in, was brought to them by the Phoenicians who traveled across the world and settled those places. And the purpose of the chopping of the heads off was not because they were ignorant savages. The purpose of the chopping of the heads off and the satanic ritual worship was because it opened a gateway into the fourth dimension, where Lucifer would supernaturally release military victory, crops that would flourish, prosperity, and all kinds of things. So economics and wealth and prosperity was released from another dimension through satanic worship. That is an important principle, because that principle rests on, again, your listeners really need to like lock into this for all it's worth, because it's worth their life. The foundational principle here is that we live in a multidimensional universe, not just in three dimensions. The CERN Hadron Collider is the latest example of this. As many of your listeners know, the purpose of the CERN Hadron Collider is to crack open doorways into other dimensions, because these high-level scientists know there are other dimensions. And as one of the scientific directors of the CERN Hadron Collider stated, they anticipated being in communication with extra-dimensional entities or beings by cracking open another dimension. And those extra-dimensional entities, as Christians, we know they're fallen angels. So these same fallen angels that were giving science and technology back in Mount Hermon and ancient super-civilizations are still alive and well today, communicating with an occult scientific elite that rules our world, and that's why you have them involved in the CERN Hadron Collider. And the CERN Hadron Collider is designed to do what the Tower of Babel was designed to do, because the Tower of Babel was an interdimensional stargate that allowed for the entrance into the physical earth of extra-dimensional entities or fallen angels. In the same way, the CERN Hadron Collider is a doorway into another dimension that allows for these entities or fallen angels to come back on the earth. So I'm going to revisit something here, and I'm going to slam this truth home hard. We're talking about the reality of the demonic and Lucifer. The Bible teaches us that there are multiple dimensions. The Bible teaches us that there is a Lucifer and fallen angels. But the Bible also teaches us about the foundational reality that there are other dimensions. One would be the dimension of the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible teaches us that spiritual battles for power and economics occur in the invisible realm. And the Bible teaches us, ultimately, if we pay attention to the Bible, that as Christians, we're not to view reality and economic prosperity and provision and supply and victories and the transformation of our society or healing or anything merely through the the humanistic perspective of everything is just a byproduct of activity in the physical dimensions. The Bible clearly teaches us from Genesis to Revelation that God is our source, capital S, and that when we synchronize or harmonize with his principles, which I explained, by the way, in A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 and in Mass Awakening and in the first A Prophecy of the Future of America and some of the other books, this principle that the Pilgrims and Puritans understood, and it's simple, but it's powerful. When the Pilgrims and Puritans had any problem, economic, agricultural, sickness, whatever the problem was, they never looked to three-dimensional answers for the solution. They didn't say to themselves, not that you shouldn't, but they didn't say to themselves when they planted their crops, oh, gee, did we use the right fertilizer? Our crops failed because we used the right fertilizer. Well, maybe they did that. They did ask that question. But that was not the primary question they asked themselves, because that assumes that provision and the origination of provision is simply coming from three dimensions. They ask themselves the bigger question. Since God has promised to bless us, since we have entered into a supernatural covenant with God based on the covenant that God entered the children of Israel with, based on Moses and the blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28, which were predicated on two things, worshiping God and not worshiping false gods, and hearkening diligently to obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And then you see, again, this detailed economic list. I mean, it's like economics 101, agriculture, commerce, trade, health, immigration. All those are placed out as blessings supernaturally from God that will be released in the lives of his children if they are in synchronization or obedience to the two requirements, worshiping God alone and obeying his word. Conversely, if they disobey God and worship idols and disobey his word, then that same meticulous, detailed list of economic blessings and immigration and everything else, that it's turned around as a curse. So when the Pilgrims and Puritans faced anything of adversity, they always called for a solemn assembly. They fasted, they repented, and they sought the face of God until such a moment as they knew God went into their place of meeting, showed up with his presence and glory, and then God would supernaturally intervene in their situation and remove the curse, because they recognized that their source was God, capital S, and their willingness to live in accordance with the covenant. See, it's just like Lucifer has rules for his prosperity, supernaturally, God has rules for his. And so they had to...
Paul, yeah. Hold that thought. We're up against another break. All right. When we come back, we'll pick up right where we left off. Folks, you're listening to Paul McGuire, his website, paulmcguire.us, his radio show, The Paul McGuire Report. Bookmark his website. You can get to the radio show from there. We'll be right back with Paul McGuire right after this.